fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings, Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the March 21st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Egypt continues to dominate the medals table at the 13th African Games in Ghana. As of early Thursday afternoon, Accra time, Team Egypt had tallied 167 medals, including 92 gold. Team Nigeria was in second place with 90 medals, including 35 gold. On the track, Nigerian athletes are proving tough to beat, especially in the sprint events. Team Nigeria won gold medals in the men's and women's 4x100 meters relay races. World champion and world record holder Toby Amusan won the gold in the women's 100 meters hurdles in 12.89 seconds, the fastest time in the world this year. And Chidi Okozie won the gold medal in the men's 400 meters. Chidi used a strong finish to clock a personal best time of 45.06 seconds. Hey, Chidi, how are you feeling? That's the question Iron Mike Mbonye posed to Chidi after he crossed the finish line.
Feels sensational. It was just amazing coming through the line first with a big PB. Can't complain. Feels amazing. Words cannot explain it. Just the feeling, training, everything coming to fruition.
Well, what was the opposition like? Were you anticipating that you are going to win this medal for Nigeria?
Anything is possible. So I knew it was going to be a tight race. It's going to be a lot of strong competitors. So I just knew if I give my all, anything was possible.
Now, talking about the race, what was it like from the beginning and then coming to the finals?
So one thing that my training part, I do at track training, I always try to do it at the meet. So getting out hard, maintaining on the backstretch, and finishing strong. So it's what I try to do today, and I execute it perfectly.
After the African Games, what's your next priority?
Qualifying for the Olympics.
Well, what's your take on it? Do you need to go for qualification, or are you already qualified?
I need to run 45 flat, so I'm close.
Are there tournaments or events lined up for you to get to that?
Take it one day at a time. So when I get back to the U.S., talk to my coach, we're going to have a game plan moving forward. So,
do you really think that African athletes have good chances of competing favorably with the big names or the rest of the world when it comes to big events like Olympic Games from what you've seen so far?
Definitely. You know, because once we get the resources that we need, we can compete with anybody. A lot of people out here don't have a lot of resources that they have in the U.S., and we still run fast time. So just imagine if we, even the playing field, anything is possible.
What's your advice to young and upcoming athletes, both in Nigeria and in the U.S., who want to run for their country?
I'll just tell them, keep believing in yourself. Anything is possible. Never give up. Don't believe in the doubters, because anything is possible.
I see. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
And thanks to Iron Mike Mbonye for that post-race interview with Chidi Okozie, the African Games 400 meters champion. Chidi and Iron Mike spoke in Accra, Ghana. Meanwhile, host Ghana is hoping to get on the African Games medals podium in the men's javelin throw final, which will be held Friday. Yawofusu Larbi reports from Accra. Sporty greetings, Yao!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The athletics events have provided a great atmosphere at the Lagos Stadium here in Accra. After Ghana's Rose Amwenima Yeboa won gold in the women's high jump, there is a renewed sense of hope that the other Ghanaian athletes can also get gold in their respective events, including Ghana's javelin thrower, John Ampoma.
I came in not long ago, but, you know, to just come back here, meet some of my teammates, the old ones and the new ones, the first time. It's great. The environment doing here in the University of Ghana, it's a very wonderful atmosphere to really kind of give our best. So it's been a great welcome and a great feeling so far.
Ampoma is a leader in Ghana's athletics team. He was the country's flag bearer at the Olympic Games in Rio in 2016 and the national record holder in the javelin throw with a distance of 83.09 meters, which he threw at the Cape Coast Stadium in Ghana that same year. Since then, he has been battling injuries and took time off the sport to work on himself.
I got a bit of injury, so that has been the setback. Post-college, I have been trying to get back, but the injury was a very massive injury. I did, you know, tear my pec, my pectoral major, so that was a very big injury, and it took me about 3 years to get back. When I got back, COVID hit, and then everything went down. So it's been setback with the injury, but also trying to rebuild myself up post-COVID.
In javelin throw, Mpoma has a silver medal from the African Games, which he won 9 years ago in Congo Brazzaville, and then another silver in the African Championships. Although he hasn't competed in so long, Mpoma wants to give off everything for his country at these games. What should we expect from John?
My best, just like my, you know, other teammates, always give our best. That is all I can say, my best, and hopefully my best will kind of translate into something, you know, meaningful as in being on the podium. But my best is what I'm going to give, trying to surpass what I did yesterday or, you know, a week before or a year ago or something. So that's what Ghanaians should expect from me.
Ghanaians will be looking to pick up more medals in different athletic competitions as the days plow on. Hopefully, John Mpoma can add to that number in the coming days. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yafo Sulabi in Accra.
VOA Africa has a wide variety of programs for you. News, lifestyle, health, politics, youth, women, sports. We have it all. Tune into our discussion shows on the radio, television, and the internet on voaafrica.com.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
And I'm delighted to report that Heather Maxwell will be performing next week at my VOA retirement party. That's right. Heather will be singing some songs with members of her new band. The sun is setting on the Sunny Side of Sports. My last show is March 27th. And this VOA programming note, I have special guests lined up for my last three shows on March 25th, March 26th, and March 27th. So please tune in. And while the Sunny Side of Sports is going off the air, my VOA colleague, Mukbil Yabaro, says there's something new and sporty and cultural coming down the road on VOA Africa. And Mukbil joins us now to tell us about that and talk March Madness hoops. Sporty greetings, Mukbil.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. What's going on?
Well, Mukbil, what can you tell our VOA listeners about this upcoming new programming initiative?
Yeah, Sonny, appreciate the plug. We definitely have what will be the transitioning of the sports program into a podcast feel. It'll be myself, Mike Hove, and Kali Abdu.
Sporty guys each.
Sporty guys that you've seen on some of our sporty programming in the past.
BAL
and AFCON.
Kali was in Qatar
when we were doing On Goal as well.
That's
so
right.
So they have been in the sports programming with me and Sonny for quite some time now. So it'll be interesting to see what this new podcast format is going to entail. It'll be a weekly show, and not only will it have the sports aspect, as Sonny mentioned, also a cultural aspect as well, making sure that we're tackling trendy topics and everything happening on the continent.
So, what about music?
Oh, music is also a trendy topic.
Music and sports go together. They go together, Muck Bill.
That's why Heather's going to be there at the retirement. So it works well. So we're definitely excited to roll that out in a little bit. No confirmed dates just yet, but be on the lookout.
I look forward to it, Muck Bill. And speaking of excitement, U.S. college basketball fans are very excited right now. One of the most popular annual sporting events here in the USA, the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship Tournament, is tipping off at arenas around the United States. This single elimination tournament will culminate in early April, when the Final Four is played. It'll be played at the State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona. That's located about 15 kilometers northwest of Phoenix, Arizona. The semifinal games are played on April 6th, and the men's final will tip off on April 8th. The tip-off time, 9:20 p.m. here in the USA. So that'll be early morning in Africa. But Muck Bill, first the venue for the Final Four, the stadium, the seating can be expanded to over 70,000. Will all those seats be filled for the title game?
It's March Madness, Sonny. It's March Madness. I would be surprised if they don't have, if that stadium could fit 80,000 people.
Wow.
People would be there. This tournament is so huge. It is such a spectacle. I am super excited to see what this tournament brings. Every single year, Sonny, this tournament has shockers. As we know, if you are a avid college basketball fan, you fill out this thing called the bracket, right? We've been doing it for years.
I'm looking at one right now,
man. And then you have something called the bracket buster. The bracket buster is, as soon as you fill out your bracket, if something doesn't go according to plan, it's gone. Your bracket is no longer valid. It's null and void. And it happens to me all the time. And yet here I am, year after year, still filling out the bracket, Sonny. Man.
Well, I know I've suffered my share of upsets on my brackets over the years. But looking at the bracket for this year's tournament, Muck Bill, let's go with the top seeds. Tell us who the four top seeds are in the tournament.
The top seeds are UConn, Houston, Purdue, and North Carolina. Those are the number one seeds.
Now, those two schools that jump out at me right away, Houston, mm-hmm. Where Akeem the Dream Olajuwon played.
Absolutely.
Way back when.
Yep.
Probably the greatest basketball player Africa has ever produced.
I would definitely agree. He's one of my all-time favorites. Dream.
And North Carolina, Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan.
I still see him hitting that last-minute shot.
I guess.
Was that Georgetown? No, I can't remember.
I
know it swished at the end.
Money.
I know it went in and they won the title game.
Absolutely. Jordan's so interesting in that when you really look at his career, his college career, it was a really good college career, but you would have never thought that Jordan from North Carolina would be arguably the greatest basketball player to ever have played. You know what I mean? Sometimes you have players that are like really great collegiate players and they don't pan out that great in the NBA. Or some players that are just average in college, and then they really turn it up to that next level. Like, a good example for me is, like, if I was to use two examples, J.J. Redick and Russell Westbrook. J.J. Redick is
Duke.
He was with Duke, and Russell Westbrook was with UCLA. Russell Westbrook was not that great a collegiate player. He was good, but he wasn't, like, I didn't think he was ever going to become a, you know, an MVP and, like, average a triple-double season.
Right,
when
right.
you watch him at UCLA. And then you look at JJ's career, who I believe he's, like, he has the most points scored in Duke history. He goes to the NBA and has a decent career. You know what I mean? He was kind of like a journeyman, moved around, was a very integral part in a lot of really good teams, but not really that guy that he was in 4 years for Duke.
Getting back to the brackets, Muckbill, UConn, top seed in the East. They have pedigree. They've won the national title in the past. But from a pedigree standpoint, Muckbill, UConn, maybe the strongest men's and women's collegiate program.
Oh,
I
would definitely have to agree. I mean, we remember the years where UConn, especially the women's program, was really, like, untouchable. You know what I mean? So collectively, they just have a great program there. So I would agree, if you have to balance both teams, yeah, you would absolutely put them up there. If you were to just give, you know, if you were just talk women's right now, I know South Carolina
right.
is going crazy for the women's side.
Iowa
is another one. Absolutely. LSU,
right.
They're doing really well, you know. But then when you have to factor in both the men's and the women's, I would definitely say UConn is up there for sure.
Well, you talked about bracket busters. Your alma mater, Muckbill, broke some brackets, I think, way back in
2006?
George Mason University. Reflect on that run.
Unbelievable run at the time. I was, you know, I hadn't gone there just yet. So it was me just being excited for a team because I had just moved there.
Okay.
Just moved back, you know, after finishing high school in Kenya, moved back to the area, and I was really excited about being in the Northern Virginia area. I was in Fairfax at the time, and seeing the local team, I maybe lived about 10 minutes from Mason, and I'm like, man, what is this? Is this how you guys are welcoming me? What a welcome home right there. But I'll take it, you know. So it was great, man, to have that level of experience, seeing that be the first time that, you know, we moved back, you know, to the States.
Right.
And seeing that it was amazing.
Let's continue to look at this bracket, Muckbill. Are there any bracket busters that you see in this year's tournament?
If I'm looking at let's just say the first games happening, bracket busters. Gonzaga is on a bracket buster alert, upset alert against McNeese. Gonzaga's had a relatively tough season this year, even though they're still coming in at the fifth spot. They're saying, you know, be on the lookout for that. Kansas Jayhawks, that are naturally usually a higher seed than this, they're in that fourth seed this year, going up against Samford. That's another potential upset alert. And then a team that we just spoke about right now, South Carolina.
The Gamecocks.
The Gamecocks going up against Oregon. That is another upset alert. Oregon is in that 11th slot with the Gamecocks at the 6th slot. So
I know, Muckbill, in African men's football, I love the nicknames that are there. And then, you know, all these schools have nicknames too, but don't ask me to name all of them. Like a school like Sanford. I can't tell you their nickname.
Can't call it.
Well, we have African players competing in March Madness. Are there maybe two or three African players, Muckbill, that you think we should watch that could really make an impact during March Madness?
Absolutely, Sonny. If we're just continuing on our bracket, we're looking to see Arizona, the state that will be hosting the Final Four. Arizona is in the second place slot this year of the Western Conference, going up against Long Beach in their first game. They have a young man by the name of Omar Ballo, 7-footer from Mali. Has been dominating both both sides of the court for the Wildcats this year. He is averaging 13.1 points, 1.2 blocks, and a career best of 10.1 rebounds per game. Double-double.
Muckbill, I'm betting our big man from Bamako, Sheck Tiero, knows of Omar.
The question is, who from Mali does Sheck not know in the world of sports, man? The big man from Bamako.
Who does he not know?
Man, he's super plugged in, but, you know, that's because, you know, he was also, you know, right there playing in that G League, you know what I mean? That one step away from going pro. So he's right in the mix with all of these upcoming players.
I might be wrong. I think Sheck at the undergraduate level played for University of California, Riverside.
I believe
so. Which is, again, a very good basketball school.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, he definitely did. And, you know, who's to say if he doesn't go to maybe a bigger school, maybe he gets a better look, you know, even though they are a, you know, pretty good D1 school. Sometimes it's also about, you know, how much exposure that team has as well, right? So for now, Omar Ballo to be playing for Arizona, that's huge, man. Arizona gets all the looks. All the scouts are naturally looking for them. Whether or not he has a great tournament, which I, you know, wishing the best for the young man to be able to go out there and perform well in this tournament. The deeper they go, the better chances that he has for the look. But
one other quick, you jogged a memory for me, Muckbill. Arizona, I think that's where Steve Kerr went to college.
Possible.
He turned out to be a great solid NBA player, but a great coach.
Absolutely. I think his I would just consider his basketball career in general, whether it's playing mixed in with his time at Phoenix as a president of operations, with his head coaching experience. Man, what a career in the game of basketball, period.
Any other African players we should watch, Muckbill?
Another one that I'll have to throw in there, if I could quickly do two. One would be Nelly Jr. Joseph, who's playing for Nigeria. Who's from Nigeria, who's playing for New Mexico. 6'10", junior, big man, 22 years old, and he has a combined rebounds, 282 rebounds and 49 blocks this season.
Wow, 49?
49 blocks this season.
That's a lot of blocks.
Absolutely. And I'll throw in one last one. My young fella, Ruben Chinyelu,
Ruben Chinyelu. Ruben from the Basketball Africa League,
man. You know, and also these players that I mentioned, Omar Ballo that I mentioned earlier on is from the NBA Academy as well. So is Nelly Jr. Joseph. These are all NBA Academy guys, whether it's global, whether it's NBA Academy Latin America, but these are all young players that have, you know, been under the tutelage of the NBA on their way up. So Ruben is playing for Washington State. Their first game is up against Drake. So we'll see how the young man fares.
Let's talk trajectory a little bit, Muckbill. A player like Ruben Chinyelu, very talented, but it is still very difficult to make it to the NBA. There's only a certain number of slots available on each team. What about maybe a player not named Chinyelu, an African player that maybe is not quite at NBA level? Would they consider the Basketball Africa League?
It's possible. I think the Basketball Africa League at the moment, in the way that it's structured, seems to me from the outside looking in like a pipeline for the NBA, right? So if a player doesn't feel like they maybe can go to the NBA, I think if they do make a stint back in the NBA, the Basketball Africa League, it would be maybe a player like that has done their D1 stint, has potentially tried to play in Europe, but maybe just wants to get more exposure to be able to maybe, you know, raise their profile a bit,
right?
So you could see some players doing that, but I don't know if a player goes from, let's say, D1 to the Basketball Africa League to then move elsewhere, because the Basketball Africa League is not a league now where it's season long just yet. Once it gets that format where it's season long, I think I could see more players, you know, continually playing for the league, similarly to how players are playing in FIBA in Europe and other parts of the world.
Another sort of NCAA March Madness story that Muckbill shared with me outside the studio, and I'll let him tell it. involves a school. I think they're based in Richmond, Virginia Commonwealth. Talk about that story, Muck.
Man, my VCU stint, bro. It was very interesting because at the time, you know, not going to VCU and being at Mason from Mondays to Thursdays were my classes. Thursday evening, we hit the road. I have a couple of my friends that live in VCU, and we were just partaking in, you know, all the chaos because in 2011, you know, it was so much fun to watch VCU. The Rams went in from playing in the quote-unquote the play-in game, right? What's the official name for it? The play-in tournament, in essence. To go from there, to make it all the way to the Final Four, and to lose to Butler. But they were in it, man. They were in it. And then Butler goes on to lose to UConn in that one. But, you know, having them beat teams like the Jayhawks on the way when they played them in the Elite Eight was an amazing experience to feel that atmosphere with all the Rams, man. I just couldn't get enough. I just kept coming back every weekend.
So I guess you could say you were butting heads with the Rams.
Oh, absolutely, Sonny. They thought I went to VCU. Folks thought I was a Ram, man. It was amazing.
Quick shout out for a play-in school, Wagner. They beat the school based right here in Washington, D.C., Howard University. And now Wagner has... kind of a tough opening game in the main bracket, Muckville. Who are they playing? Looks like they're playing the Tar Heels.
Oh, my goodness. To me, that's not fair, man. It's like you're allowed to get into the tournament, right? You did so well. You played in to make it. And then who do you face? Only one of the teams that have arguably one of the best collegiate basketball, like, records of all time. Only Jordan and Vince Carter and the likes have played for these guys. Come on. Maybe give the, you should have gave them maybe Purdue, man, or something.
Well, I know that in these early rounds there are upsets, Muck Bill, but taking a look, it's not often that a top-seeded team will lose its opening game.
It's tough. You know, you probably have a better bet seeing a third-place team lose to maybe a 14th seed or a little even further down, a fourth seed losing to a 13th seed or something along those lines. If you remember, I just was mentioning a potential upset alert, Kansas versus Samford, and Kansas is a fourth seed. So in that fourth, fifth, sixth seed, seventh seed, anything goes at that point. Because these are teams that really haven't been doing that great, but because they are in a division that probably is a little bit harder than some of the other divisions, they get ranked higher, even though their collective record might not be that great.
I mentioned Michael Jordan sinking that game-winning shot to win the national title for North Carolina. I guess that was back in the 80s. Any other player, star player that comes to mind, Muck Bill, for a Final Four performance?
Final Four, I don't remember whether or not Steph and them with Davidson made it to Final Four, but I remember he cooked in that entire tournament. Having a team like Davidson, you know, really, that was really his showing out party, I remember, you know. So I'd say Steph, and then I remember the one year where Carmelo won.
With Syracuse,
him and Hakeem Warwick. That was 2002. Carmelo had a heck of a tournament.
Would like to give a shout out for Patrick Ewing.
Oh yeah,
he did win a national title with Georgetown, right here in Washington. But he didn't fare too well as the coach of the Hoyas after his playing career ended.
Yeah, his style maybe isn't really conducive for the younger guys to kind of you know, shadow or model after. Maybe another alum of the Hoyas like Allen Iverson might have fared a little better with the young guys. Maybe we see AI in the coaching gig. Who knows?
Talking March Madness with my VOA colleague, Muck Bill Yarborough. Thanks, Muck Bill.
Thanks, Sonny.
And I hope you all... You know, I hope your brackets come through for you with this March Madness. Always some upsets. Thanks also to VOA engineer Audrius Regis. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.